802 calls to the Nelson Police in 2020 were related to mental health, the Nelson Star reports. That makes up 12.4% of the year's calls for help, and that's up from the 11.4% in 2019. Chief Constable Paul Burkhart explains some of the factors to why there's an increase.
You know, we see fluctuations in our numbers, from year to year. In the last 3 years, though, we have seen sort of a steady increase. Certainly in 2020, we really saw, with the pandemic, increased stress and pressure on, you know, pretty well the whole population. It wasn't just a specific group. It wasn't who we deal with regularly in terms of mental health issues. You know, you really saw this through the whole population. So I think it's just the stress that everybody is feeling. And, you know, we see that with the protests and such regarding even things like wearing masks and stuff. It's just very difficult for people to deal with some of the things that are happening right now. You know, people are losing their jobs, dealing with the stressors of a lack of funding, you know, because they've lost their job and now they're dealing with issues at home. And so we've seen, you know, a few more domestic disputes. And you can link a lot of this back to the pandemic.
Explain what constitutes a mental health call. How does a call become categorized as such?
Yeah, we sort of have two ways of doing it. Some calls are what we would consider a true mental health call, where, for example, a warrant has been issued for somebody to be apprehended and brought to the hospital, and that might be done by a judge or it might be done by a mental health worker. So we'll get involved, we'll go locate that person, and we'll bring them up to the hospital. So, you know, that has specifically something to do with mental health, where we're being involved to support. Then there's other calls, example of the stabbing downtown. Although that was an incident of assault with a weapon, attempted murder, in the end it became a mental health call because the person doing that act was seen to be not criminally responsible at a later date. So that is a criminal code call, but it involves mental health. And we get quite a few of those. Most of our mental health calls that we flag as mental health are not the primary reason we're going to that call isn't because of mental health. It might be a factor in that call, for example, the stabbing downtown, but the initial original call was an attack by somebody with a knife. So we have two ways of doing it. One where it's a true mental health call. It might be an attempted suicide. It might be a warrant from mental health saying that this person needs to be apprehended. And then we have other calls that might be as serious as the stabbing downtown, or it might be a neighborhood dispute where somebody is paranoid about their neighbor, but will get sent up there and it's a dispute between neighbors that turns into a mental health call. So our members are, you know a little bit of the history. They're making an assessment, and then we have more professional assessments being done by mental health or an order by a judge where we're being asked to become involved in a call.
Mm-hmm, I see. And how do your officers respond to a call that there's a mental health element? And how would you describe their role on scene?
It depends. You know, we responded to a call last week where a distraught male ended up holding a knife to his own throat. We obviously go to that call. We're going to deal with somebody who might be suffering from a mental health issue, and then it escalates. Other times we might just have somebody call guarding somebody talking to themselves downtown and seems to be struggling with their mental health. You know, we'll go out to those calls wherever possible. We'll assess and we'll triage it right there at site, and we'll decide whether or not it's best that we deal with it, or we might reach out to another agency such as mental health and substance use to come out and send out a worker to deal with the situation. There are certainly certain calls that we probably are not needed at, but quite often we might be sent out because they don't know what they're dealing with, and it's better that we go out, decide what to do with that, rather than sending out a mental health worker who might not be able to deal with somebody who's delusional and becomes violent. So we'll go out, do the assessment, and then we'll deal with it. We'll go out, do an assessment, and we'll get another agency involved. So that might be getting a mental health worker to come to scene, that would be getting one of the outreach workers to come to scene, or we might pick that person up to the hospital to be assessed by a medical doctor.
So Several years ago, the Nelson Police Department pitched the idea of having a mental health worker ride along with police officers, but the idea was shot down by Interior Health. CAR 87 was modeled after the successful program in the downtown East Side that began in 1987, although not every police vehicle has a mental health worker in it now. And in the past year, there has been an increase of people in both Canada and the U.S. calling to defund the police and spend those budgets on social services instead. There's currently a commission in BC working on reviewing police relations with mental health and race. I asked Chief Constable Burkhart how the training for police officers regarding mental health has evolved during his years on the force.
Even back then, you know, we had mental health training. It made up a significant number of our calls, and that has just continued to increase as we see more of these type of issues, more mental health calls in the community. So, yeah, we have seen that develop. We certainly get more training in mental health issues now. All our members are trained in de-escalation techniques, so dealing with trying to get people to de-escalate their behaviors so that they can be brought to somebody to get help up to the hospital and such. We certainly have the training, and certainly the number of calls we're going to makes us a little bit of experts. And, you know, we had a group show up at council and say, well, the police aren't very good at these type of calls, and I'd have to disagree. I think we're very good at these type of calls. I just don't think we should be the ones that are doing it. There are better people in the community to be dealing with some of these calls. They will not be able to deal with all our mental health calls because they're just not equipped to do that. If you think of some of the calls that involved mental health over the last few years, you know, the stabbing downtown, we had an older lady in Rosemont that was looking after her grandchild and was attacked by somebody that was paranoid about that person who had never met that person. Those are types of calls that we're going to have to attend. It's regular for us to be able to attend these type of calls and then get mental health involved because we just don't know what we're going into. Yeah, we're well trained. We certainly are experienced in dealing with these types of calls. Would we rather have a mental health worker attend the calls? Yeah, in some cases we definitely would. And so we're going to continue to push for that. And that's what we did a few years ago when we asked for the CAR 87. That was a project that we were looking at creating with mental health, where a police officer in plain clothes would work with a mental health worker in the same car, and they would be out doing proactive work and trying to head off a mental health crisis with some of the clients before it happened. And our members do this already, where they'll be out, they'll see somebody struggling a little bit, and they'll walk that person over to mental health to get some help, or they'll take them up to the hospital. Our members know these individuals really well, and they know when they're having good days and when they're having off days, and they're able to react to that and do a little proactive work. And that's what we were looking at CAR 87, was the same thing, is getting a mental health worker with a police officer to go to these types of calls, or even going out to meet with those individuals when we know they're struggling a little bit, and to prevent that crisis. But it was the IH that came back and said that they weren't interested in doing the program. They just didn't feel it was going to be effective here.
Going forward, since that idea was turned down, what kind of collaboration with the police and different mental health agencies, what could that look like in the future?
I think you're going to see that a need for, you know, more mental health workers out on the street. The trouble is, in a smaller place like here, you're not going to have 24/7 coverage. It's just going to be too expensive, and it's going to be hard for them to do that. I mean, if they came in and we said, okay, out of our, you know, last year it was around 800 calls, 250 of those are true mental health calls. Many of those, the mental health worker would not be able to attend because of the risk of violence or, you know, confrontation. In those particular cases, we would still like mental health to be involved with that. So we would like the mental health worker to be available. I just don't see them ever coming to the point where they're 24/7. So that is why our members are always going to have to attend some of these calls. And that's in a place like Nelson. I can't imagine what they would do in a place like New Denver or Caslow, where you know, you're simply not going to get that mental health support from the provincial government. What I'd like to see, I would like to see a little bit more long-term treatment in the area in terms of mental health and substance use. And I would also like to see a regional plan. Nelson is known for providing these services, and it gets a little overwhelming when a lot of people come from surrounding communities to come here because there's those same services are not available in their own communities. I think, as from Nelson's perspective, from the Nelson Police Department's perspective, we would like to see more of a regional approach in providing these services in the other communities as well.
And there's also currently a commission in BC working on reviewing police relations with mental health and race. What do you hope to see from that review?
So we're always looking at the best ways of moving forward with certain types of calls and such, and that's why we went to mental health and tried to create this CAR 87. That wasn't them approaching us, that's us approaching them, because we saw some value in that. And so we're expecting the same out of this commission. I mean, we want them to come forward to us and say, well, what's the best way of dealing with these types of issues? And you know what? It might be less police. Or it might be the same number of police and them funding, mental health and some of the other agencies that are dealing with some of the concerns that we deal with on a daily basis. That's homelessness and poverty and all those. If they can fund those properly, in the end, you might need less police. But the reality is, until you deal with the trauma, the homelessness and the poverty and the mental health issues that people are dealing with regularly, you're not going to be able to safely defund the police. Unfortunately, we're going to be that safety net that deals with a lot of these issues until they're able to properly fund those places. Right now, we run a 24/7 shifting, and you're not going to reduce our police department by 20% safely, because we will not have enough members to run shifts. And, while we're doing those mental health calls, we're also doing impaired, we're dealing with assaults that are going on, and, no single agency would be able to cover what we do. And so is there going to be a conversation later on for defunding the police? Maybe. There might be that possibility later on if they can put some money into these other agencies and alleviate some of the concerns that we're going to right now. But the reality is, I don't think they're going to be able to do that until they deal with those issues I already mentioned. So, yeah, the commission, hopefully they can come up with some ideas and move forward and come up with some, civilian-driven plans that may take some of the work away from police departments. But even, like I said, we have 800 calls a year that are mental health related. Only 300 of them are true mental health calls. Otherwise, they are, like I said, criminal acts and different types of calls we're going to with a mental health component. So if you take away, let's say, 50% of our mental health calls or mental health related calls, you're reducing our call load from 6,600 to 6,200. And that's not going to make a significant difference in our staffing. We're going to still need the number of police officers that we have right now, because we run our shifting 24/7, and we're not going to be able to pull a member out of night shift because we now have an extra mental health worker in the area. That's just not how it works. But if they're able to address some of the concerns, as I said, of homelessness, poverty, mental health, substance use, which are going to take years to do, then we can sit down and have a realistic conversation about defunding the police.